Hey, Toonheads. B-Dubs chiming in here. Apparently, we got some responses on the Secret Squirrel episode that we released last week. So I'm going to share a couple of comments with you today so that you can hear what everyone else was talking about when we released the episode before we move on to our topic of today. Just going to pull a few of them out here. From YouTube, the fantastic retro reviewer 3941 says, "I have nothing against Jess Harnell doing his own voice of Secret Squirrel, but Mel Blanc still did it better." Thank you for chiming in. I didn't grow up with Secret Squirrel, as you know, but I can see why you enjoy his performance when he's voicing Secret Squirrel. I mean, like Bugs Bunny, he's got a lot of charisma and personality, even if it is a little more on the basic level. But yeah, he still makes the character noteworthy and watchable. So I appreciate you sharing your perspective. We also have JAramas25 over on Instagram. He says, "I connected more with the Two Stupid Dogs Secret Squirrel myself, LOL, especially the Platypus episode." Yeah, I agree with you there. I vaguely remember the Platypus episode. I think that's the one where they do a bunch of body part switching with Morocco Mole, Secret Squirrel, and the Chief. And that was a lot of fun. And I can see that there are some similarities you can identify with how Platypus acts and looks as a character. So thank you for sharing that. And hope to hear from all you Toonheads a little bit more as we continue on this journey of Cartoon Network together. All right, back to the main topic.
Oh, yeah! Now for the secret of schmoozin'. The rapture of rap, the snap, crackle, pop of cool. Hire a secretary, boys. Bingo! Now this, no bacon, this will be a day you'll never forget. Pinch yourself, boys. Swimsuits of the gods. Well, okay, they're my brothers.
My word. They look like napkins.
Cool box, Eddie.
Welcome to Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast covering many, many years of Cartoon Network's history.
You're so nice.
I'm funky. I'm fresh.
Hi, the Powerpuff Girls.
Hi. Not now, boy. I'm busy. Tonight's the third night.
Greetings, Toonheads. It's your buddy and host, B-Dubs. And this is Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast dedicated to all things animation from the 1990s and early 2000s. Today, we're looking for a way to make a quick buck off of some unsuspecting neighborhood kids so we can enjoy a jawbreaker or two in our favorite Ed, Edd n Eddy episodes. This format of our podcast is much more off the cuff than our top 10, even though they have a slight similarity in listing items under a common theme. For our favorites, we pick around 3 to 7 entries and speak more to our memories of them than through an objective analytical lens list by list item. There's no episode info, no particular order, and no dishonorable mentions because why would it be on here if it wasn't a favorite? However, feel free to share your own favorites in the comments on YouTube or on podcast platforms that allow commenting. Or you can just email me at checkerchildhood@gmail.com and share some of your own favorites. What I love most about this exercise is remembering the connections I made to these specific episodes. And I'm sure you will too have a few conjured up in your mind as we take a trip down memory lane to the cul-de-sac together. Ready for a suburban nostalgia bomb? All right, let's dive in. So starting off, one of my first memories of Ed, Edd n Eddy, episode-wise, comes to mind is the Merit Badge one, which is also called Oaf Toon Ed. I remember the kids had like super stiff, flat clothes that they tried walking around in. I particularly loved when Ed opened his stiff clothes like a door and closed it. That was fun. A lot of great visual gags here. And apparently to fix the stiffness and to break them in, they threw him in the pond and Ed acted as like the spinner of a washing machine, which was pretty funny. This one stood out to me as a memory because I related to it as a young Boy Scout in 2000 earning merit badges and finding a way to stand out among the rest of the scouts in the troop. And it wasn't something that came that naturally to me, I'd definitely work hard at it and get help from other people and even scout leaders to earn all the badges that I've amassed to the point where I became an Eagle Scout with a record for the troop for holding some of the most merit badges earned during my scout tenure. And I do have to say that while the ones in real life are a bit more complicated, a bit more challenging to earn than the ones you see in these episodes, like putting on a roll of toilet paper badge or reheating a burrito badge. I think the Urban Rangers has their own level of system that just can't be compared to the Scouts, but it's still fun to watch.
Line up and present yourself so you may earn a new badge.
I think most likely if I did participate in the Urban Rangers, I would have earned the laundry sorting badge since I'm pretty good at that when doing house chores. I also like the thought of the hedge trimming badge back when I used to work at a park because it helped me remember like to make nice level cuts when trimming the pieces off of it. One quote that comes to mind when I remember this episode is just some of the absurd things Rolf spouts. And in particular, this one got to me. Rolf says, "Seeing you covered in filth reminds me of my youth." And I guess that's in reference to the microwave bean burrito that exploded onto Rolf and the Eds after they reheated it. And boy, do I love a good bean burrito. I know how it is when it gets a little bit too messy when you set it on high for too long. Something else that sticks in my memory about this episode is just Sarah being a complete jerk when she's standing in as the good neighbor for Eddie to earn that good neighbor badge. And it really boiled my blood seeing her constantly antagonize him and torment Eddie. Because I felt that, you know, there are times in life where you try to be nice to people and they're just, for whatever reason, they just want to be nasty to you and make your day miserable. And it's very hard to maintain your composure in those tough instances.
Hello, neighbor. I just thought...
Goo, goo, goo!
Excuse me, neighbor!
Aw, is baby gonna cry?
So it felt very cathartic to see Eddie just shout at her so loud that her cardboard house collapsed. Yeah.
Shut up, Sarah!
Sometimes I wonder also how Plank earned all of his badges, because we see him at the end, before the short Iris is out, and... maybe he's just better at earning, or maybe he's just better at performing simple tasks thanks to Johnny's help, or maybe he's just able of getting up and walking around when we're not looking at the cartoon. Makes you wonder. Moving on, my second favorite that I recall from Ed, Edd n Eddy is the River Cruise one, which is called Avast Ye Eds. This one stood out to me mainly for the music. I really loved Ed's lap guitar solo, even though I had no idea what he was playing at first. I knew it sounded kind of like a guitar, kind of like music you'd hear when you arrived on a vacation to Hawaii. But it really entranced me to the point where I had to like keep rewinding it when I recorded the episode on VHS tape back in the early 2000s.
This instrument is so annoying.
It did inspire me to play guitar, but I didn't get very far because it can be challenging to build the habits. But it was still fun to watch. I also remember the giant inner tube that they were sailing in across the creek. And it reminded me a little bit of a tire swing when I was swinging in as a kid that I fell out of. Because I imagine tires are pretty difficult to keep in, too. I also remember like swimming down Typhoon Lagoon at one of the Walt Disney water parks when I was a kid and thinking of this episode because pretty much the lazy river there felt just like Eddie's Creek Cruise with all the people just hanging around and tropical music playing in the background. It's a fun little detail too, now that I remember it, is how Ed is the motor of the ship where he's just like kicking and paddling for them to be moving forward. And then when they try to get away from the Canker Sisters who take their little pirate ship mattress and sail behind them to catch up. Him using his mouth as like a high-speed motor to get away from this is quite humorous. And that's something I really love about Ed, Edd n Eddy episodes is they do the visual gags in extreme absurd Looney Tune type gags really well. So my hat's off to Danny Antonucci for making a memorable cartoon in that regard.
Kick my feet, kick my feet, faster, Ed! Kick my feet faster, kick my feet faster, kick my feet faster!
I want to be their barnacle of love! Barnacle!
This is the first memory I have of the Kanker Sisters of being like very repulsive with their like crass barbaric behavior, but they still had a certain allure to them. It was weird, and probably because I was, you know, going through puberty at the time, I got mixed feelings from seeing them on the screen. Definitely had a crush on the blue-haired one, so I guess I relate mostly to Double D as being the smart one of the group. Really love Ed's kick my feet narration as he's paddling the boat down the creek further. In terms of other memories that remind me of this, again in Scouts, I got the opportunity to canoe down the Delaware Water Gap for about 50 miles to earn a special award. And I didn't do it for the award. I did it because it was a great chance to get together with my troop and do something fun and adventurous. But it definitely reminded me of doing that trip because my friend Josh, who was really big into Ed, and Eddie watching with me, he was in my boat with me. We would constantly quote Ed, and Eddie as we were going down the river, especially this episode. So that was fun to reminisce about. Also, seeing Jimmy float away at the very end, just like no one's paying attention to him after they give Rolf the tiny deflated inner tube, was the perfect punchline to end this episode. So that's why it's so memorable and fun for me. Moving on to my third memory and favorite Ed, and Eddie episode, I'm going to go with the one where Jimmy's dancing at the party, or simply called Dear Ed. And this one involves Johnny essentially having an argument with Plank, and they get separated after they have a quote-unquote fight, and just kind of dealing with the fallout and the void left behind from being separated for the first time in the show. And of course, Ed, and Eddie capitalize on the moment by trying to create a friend store and have Johnny try to find a new friend and charge him for it because, you know, that's something that happens in life, at least nowadays compared to the 90s and early 2000s. So we get to see Johnny try out different types of friends like Bob. I think he's a traffic cone, and there's like a lamp and some skis and a chair and a TV and all sorts of weird stuff with plank-like faces on them, which is, it's fun to see. I like the concept of a friend store, but nothing quite fits just right like Plank and Johnny being together. So it's nice how the episode comes around, and eventually, since Plank was hanging out with Jimmy in the meantime to, I guess, vent his feelings to him during their tea party.
What do you know? You're happy. I'm happy. Cough up the dough.
The Eds hold a party to introduce Johnny to all these quote unquote friends to mingle with. And then the neighborhood kids crash and have some fun. And of course, Jimmy shows up again and brings Plank with him. And then Johnny makes up with Plank. So it's a good reminder of how sometimes good friends don't always agree on everything, but that they'll be there for you when times get tough and you feel how much they matter to you when you're not around them all the time. So that's why this one was memorable for me. I also like seeing Ed's baby picture as an unexpected laugh and Easter egg. It came out of left field, and it was a lot of fun. I also liked Ed's quote, "You're disrupting the fabric of suburban living," when he was recalling how the music of the party was way too loud that it blew him away. Really, really liked how they used the same rockabilly music as the pool party episode, Pop Goes to Ed, for the party. It's a fun, positive, dancey vibe that's going on for it. And of course, that leads to another great ending of a short where Jimmy's doing his little like disco dance, and the Eds decide, well, we're having a party, we might as well join in and dance too after all the kids leave. And so we get to see the Eds strut their stuff with Jimmy, and of course Ed's being a little bit clumsy and pushes everyone out of the scene with his syncopated dance move, but it's still fun, and it leaves a warm fuzzy feeling inside. Speaking of Pop Goes the Ed, that's my fourth favorite Ed, and Eddie episode. And this one comes to mind mainly because of the skimpy red polka-dotted swimsuits that they all had to wear when they went to the pool party. Yeah. Such a strong visual that sometimes I wish I could forget. But that scene where the Eds do that like fancy like circus maneuver to impress all the other kids across the sprinkler, and their Speedos fly straight off into like Kevin's hot dog and the punch bowl. And yeah, it made me laugh pretty good.
We, the Eds, are about to attempt the most daring feat the world has ever seen. The double gangle half twist, hold the onions, change for a buck, sprinkler leap.
It also reminded me of when I actually had to wear Speedos for the first time growing up, because we had this family reunion where all the guys had this idea to wear them, like really skimpy Speedos, and mine was very tight and red like the Ed's. And the challenge was to like go as far as you could into the ocean at the beach house we were staying at. And of course I was last because it was very constricting trying to swim in something I'm not familiar with. And so the two memories are often associated with each other, and I make sure that I wear swim trunks from now on, since they definitely give you more room to breathe and move. This episode is a deep memory for me, though, because I remember having pool parties a lot as a kid and really enjoying the atmosphere of them, hanging out with your friends, and even crashing my uncle's pool party because he was a teen in the early 90s. And just being like excited, but also scared at the same time, because there was a bunch of high schoolers there I didn't know. But it looked like they were having fun. So, you know, I ended up showing up just cannonballing into the pool like the Eds to make a good impression. And pretty much everyone else ignored me. So I left after that. But, you know, it's just a memory that comes to mind.
I think the coast is clear now already.
All right. I think for my fifth favorite Ed, Edd n Eddy episode, I'm going to go with one that resonates with a lot of people, which is the Breaking Reality one, or 1+1=Ed is the proper title. This one I really enjoy not only for the visuals, but for the fact that Ed genuinely gets curious about a lot of things and shows some higher order thinking that we don't normally see from him. Like, one of the questions he asks, why do feet smell if they don't have a nose? And the way he phrases that is so delightfully elegant that it sparks my curiosity and see where they go with constantly asking questions further. And of course, it's in the pursuit of knowledge and somehow earning a lot of money from that, which I guess our reality, not cartoon reality, you would obtain money by earning a degree, but it's questionable these days with everything falling apart. But I do enjoy the premise of this episode because it reminds me a lot of that Daffy Duck episode of Looney Tunes where like the animator is interacting with Daffy Duck and he's like changing the appearance of Daffy Duck and taking away his voice and adding all a bunch of weird sounds. And it just feels like one of those moments that breaks the fourth wall and you're highly aware of what's going on, but you're along for the ride anyways. So it's worth checking out even if you've never seen Ed, Edd n Eddy before. I really liked Ed's quote where he said, I took it apart, Double D. Am I smart now? Which sometimes I feel like being able to disassemble something and reassemble something does have its merits, or you learn something in the process. So another smart quote by Ed.
Think how if we knew everything, we would be...
If we knew everything, we would be so famous. Wait, yeah, and rich.
Like potato salad.
It also reminded me of Rolf's weird story about the ugly boy who hid his head on a tree and thought these giant oranges were heads too hanging from it. I think that's what triggered the reality unraveling in this episode. And it just reminds me how weird Rolf is. But then again, apparently a three-headed version of him which shows up isn't quite that weird, according to Eddie, who was bored.
Hello, Ed boys. Many doors yet? Too much for couch potato Ed boys like yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fun one. Go revisit it. I loved revisiting it, too. It was just as fun as when I first watched it. I do want to mention an honorable mention episode that also came to mind when creating this list, which is the Making Johnny Annoying one, or Shoe Ed is the official title. Johnny basically wears an annoying suit with a block on his foot, randomly poking people too hard and constantly asking them why in order to serve out a scam where the Eds get money to make him go away. So they pretty much just plant him in social settings, irritate the kids, and then take him out once they get paid. And I think for a while it did work, but I don't remember the outcome. So I'll have to revisit that one again.
Why? Because you're stupid!
just Johnny's suit and his like aloof eagerness to be annoying to everyone. It really, I found that amusing. So that's why I had to make this list in some form.
Hello. An original scene transition. Interesting.
But that's it. This is just a very relaxed, ethereal kind of episode of Checker Childhood. I just wanted to share some of my memories with you, whether you like them or not. Hopefully we feel a little bit more connected in sharing your memories of Ed, Edd n Eddy 2 with me. And we can continue this nostalgia journey through Cartoon Network together. But before I close, I'm going to tell you why this matters. I'd say that remembering favorite episodes isn't exactly an exercise in nostalgia to be undermined or ignored. I mean, we have memories of these instances because they make us feel something, whether it's laughter, disgust, anger, or even a lesson to be applied in your daily life. And this is why cartoons are a valid art form, no matter who makes them and who ends up watching them. Ed, Edd n Eddy did hit me at just the right time in my adolescent years, as I was around the same age of these characters when this premiered around 1999. I was in middle school figuring out all these new unexpected changes happening to me and my friends, and at times, it was really hard to adapt to all of it. But at least knowing that I wasn't alone through the process, and you too, when you went through it, can make all the difference in whether your personality either shrinks into yourself or blossoms with radiance. And watching the Eds go through all these things really humbles you and makes you realize that we're all in this together, trying to figure out life, and that with a few good friends, we can still have some fun in the meantime too. And maybe make a quick buck so that we can go buy some candy like Jawbreakers. So yeah, that's our episode. Short, sweet, and to the point, and just a little trip down nostalgic lane. If you have some Ed, Edd n Eddy episodes, I'd love to hear your favorites too. You can comment in the YouTube comments over on YouTube, or you can email me at checkerchildhood@gmail.com and I'll share them in a future episode segment. If you did enjoy this episode, you can also rate and review this podcast over on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever else you listen to your preferred podcast platforms. If you do, I'll share your review with our fellow listeners, as I mentioned before. Don't forget to tell a friend too, so they can share the sweet waves of Cartoon Network nostalgia with us, as we got many more to cover with our topics ahead. Speaking of, check in next time when we jump back into our handy time machine and see what's going on in the year 1993 for Cartoon Network. Plus, we'll go a little bit more in depth into one particular novelty that is just now being celebrated as a cult classic of lost media. Just who is this mysterious figure and what events will we peruse through in this year? You simply have to listen in episode 8 to find out. A big hearty thank you to all my Toonheads out there for being here today. It was a lot of fun to reminisce about these Checker Childhood memories with you, and I appreciate your willingness to listen to this little show of mine. Let's get together and do it again soon. It'll be a lot of fun. In the meantime, I think I see that Ed's cooking up a scam. Ooh, one so foul that not even Rolf's barnyard animals can ignore. Hopefully they get some jawbreakers out of it for once. Have a tunerific day, my friends. Later.
Yeehaw! You are full of pickles on beach today, yes, Johnny?
Why?